Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of I Won't Stop Until I Win. I am your host, Jose Flores, and each week I'll be sharing inspiring stories of people who push through the pain, who overcome adversity, and who keep on running their race to become the winners they are today. So thank you for spending some time with me, and let's jump right into the show. Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks again for hanging out with me for another week of I Won't Stop Until I Win. Listen, guys, you know, as always, before I start every single episode, I always like to take a few moments right up front just to give God some thanks, because I believe that without him, none of this would be possible. So I just pray that somebody listening out there is encouraged, inspired, and motivated to not only learn more and do more, but to become more. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And listen, guys, you know, every single week when I bring on a guest, I always bring on nothing but fire guests, amazing guests, who are ready to drop some amazing nuggets. And this week, ladies and gentlemen, is no different. Today's guest is an internationally recognized as a financial literacy expert and dynamic keynote speaker. She's a best-selling author, New York Times best-selling author, successful entrepreneur, philanthropist, and has enjoyed a 35-year career as a licensed CPA. She has advised two U.S. presidents on the topic of financial literacy. She's also co-authored the international bestseller, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and 14 other books in the Rich Dad series. And in 2008, when the economy crashed, she was asked by the Napoleon Hill Foundation to help re-energize the teachings of Napoleon Hill. Her best-selling books with the foundation include 3 Feet from Gold, Outwitting the Devil, and Think and Grow Rich for Women, and Success and Something Greater. She has also featured in the movie Think and Grow Rich, The Legacy, and on the national television series, World's Greatest Motivators. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, welcome to the guests. Welcome to the show, Sharon Lecter. How are you, darling?
I am fantastic, Jose. Thank you so much for having me. Delighted to be with you.
Thank you so much. I've been waiting for this day for so long, trying to reach out to you, and we finally made it happen. So thank you for taking time out of your busy day to help us out with the knowledge and wisdom that you have, and just drop some gems for my audience and my listeners and my viewers as well. So I appreciate
it. My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, so we know that Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that's one of the like most iconic books that are out there, very well known, not only here in the States, but all across the world, literally. And it's helped to change a lot of people's perceptions and perspectives and mindsets with regards to being poor and rich, right? It's giving people that abundance mentality. So let's just go back a little bit and just tell us, you know, how did that whole thing come about? How did you partner with Robert Kiyosaki, and how did that whole thing, and when that opportunity presented itself to you, how did that, you know, how did you feel, and did you think that it was going to be as huge as it was?
Well, there's a lot of questions, so let me give you kind of the history and the Cliff Notes version. I actually grew up in a very lower middle class home. Neither one of my parents had high school degrees. And so their goal was for me to get a college degree. So I was first generation to go to college. Oh, but wow. We grew up, and my parents understood, they might not have had high school diplomas, but they understood money. And I lived in a small house between my mom's beauty shop and my dad's car lot. We had rental real estate properties, had to scrub out between tenants, and we had orange groves. And so I grew up with this understanding the importance of having income producing assets. And I figured everybody did. But I also swore I never wanted to be an entrepreneur because of all those, you know, the busyness of being an entrepreneur. So I wanted to get my degree. I got my degree in accounting and was one of the very first women hired in public accounting in the Southeast U.S. And so I started my career, loved it as a young single woman in Atlanta, Georgia. About the ripe old age of 25, I realized I was working really long hours, and I said, if I'm going to work like this, I should be working for myself. And that was really when I realized how smart my parents were. And I left public accounting and started on my entrepreneurial career. And I did a woman's magazine. I helped build the talking book industry. And when we sold that, and I met my husband, we had kids. We moved to Arizona in 1991. He went to college in 92. He left in September, came home in December, and told us that he was in credit card debt. We didn't even know he had a credit card.
Oh, wow.
And he'd gotten to college, and there were tables saying free pizza, free money, free t-shirt, free money. So he had a really good time his first semester in college, unbeknownst to us. And he asked us to bail him out. We said no. We haven't always made the best decisions as parents, but it took him 7 years to get out of debt and 7 years to repair his credit. And he's as passionate as I am today about financial literacy. But that was December of 1992. And that's when I dedicated the rest of my career to financial education and entrepreneurship education. And I was just absolutely determined to give people the tools to take control of their financial lives. So I started working with school systems, and it was back in 1996, I got a call from my husband, and he said, you know, I met this guy that has, this idea that I think you want to see it. And so I met Robert at a beta test for the game Cash Flow. He had gone to my husband to get help in protecting the idea. My husband's an intellectual property attorney.
Okay.
And the game actually, in fact, I have this from another talk I did. This is what the game looked like. So I think all, my question to you, everybody watching, listening, could you draw that? I think so. And so, but I'm the only one that got out of the rat race at the beta test. And I told Robert, I said, yeah, I would love to help you commercialize this, because I believe in it, the same philosophy that I teach people, and that is to understand the importance of buying, building, creating income, producing assets. My favorite word on earth, assets. And so I helped him get the game commercialized, and the game is Cash Flow. And during that process, he told me he wanted to charge $200 for the board game, and we're talking 96, 97. I said, that's a lot. That's kind of pricey. Maybe you should write a brochure. And a brochure that explains the philosophy behind the game. And it's a good way to use it as a promotional marketing tool. And so at that point, he asked me to become his partner. And we formed the company together in 1997. And that brochure we wrote was Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right? Most people don't understand that it was actually written as a marketing tool. And we had no idea. You ask us if we knew. No, we had no idea it was going to take off. We thought our brand was Cash Flow, and the world said, no, your brand is Rich Dad. We thought we'd write one book. We ended up writing 15 books together over the 10 years that we were partners. And we were able to build the brand globally very quickly. And part of that is because I had the experience and knowledge of having built the children's talking book industry. So I understood the power of association. I understood the power of branding. And we had the tremendous opportunity to benefit from viral marketing before the internet, because people would buy Rich Dad, Poor Dad, they'd read it, and then they'd share it with all their family and friends. And so we were very fortunate, the right message at the right time. And I continue to use that expertise today. And as I, built my own company, Pay Your Family First, I helped the Napoleon Hill Foundation reinvigorate the teachings of Napoleon Hill. And I have a lot of mentoring clients that I help, teaching them the fundamentals of not just building a successful business, but building one that's successful, sustainable, scalable, and saleable. So that kind of brings you to where we are today.
Wow, that's awesome. That is awesome. And that I can imagine that's a lot of work. Now, let me ask you this question. Was that Rich Dad, Poor Dad book, is that the original pamphlet that was written, or did you guys add on to that?
No, this is actually a copy of the original first edition print run.
Yep. Oh, wow. So that's a pretty thick pamphlet for a board game. was the board game difficult to understand? That it needed that?
Well, when I did the beta test for it, it was, because he had, when I started working with him, we actually separated it between 101 and cash flow 202. Because I took out the options and shorts and puts all that stuff and put it into a higher advanced game, so that the basic cash flow game talks really about stocks and real estate, businesses, understanding the importance of buying, building, creating income, producing assets.
Wow. Now, I heard that you sold 1 million copies of that book out of your house. Is that correct?
We did. The first 3 years, we didn't invest in a building or an office. We continued to grow the company, and the office was here in my home in Arizona. So, yep.
Wow.
And then I got to the point where the post office that I used to take things to mail from said, sure, we can't handle your volume anymore. And so it was like, okay, I teach people about systems. I guess it's time I employ my own. And that was when we started looking for a big publisher. And we had five top publishers coming at us trying to take the book. And at that point in time, my husband and I were able to kind of put the publishing industry on its head. We created a new partnership as opposed to a traditional publishing model. And so we went into a joint venture with Warner Books to sell the book and publish it and get it on the shelves. And so we kind of changed the industry so that now a lot of people do joint ventures, authors with the publishers. So.
Yeah. I see that. That's amazing. Now you sold collectively over 30 million books. What would you tell any authors that are listening or watching to help them get more books sold and their names, you know, more recognized? Like, what would be like one marketing tip or what strategy that you might give one up and coming author who maybe just wrote a book or is thinking about writing a book on how to, you know, be able to become successful in that?
Well, you can write the best book, but if you don't have the platform around the book, it's not going to sell. People need to know about it. And that's the biggest issue. Most authors today get so excited about having a book and they put it on Amazon and they expect it to take off. And that's with all my clients, particularly those that write books, we talk about the importance of building the platform and the business around the book. And that's where most people, you know, don't get the advice that they need. And that's my expertise, is helping people understand how to build, you know, the book is the product, but everything else that goes into it is so important. You have to be able to have the right legal foundation, have the right systems, the business systems to help you continue to scale. And so don't rely the book to sell itself. You have to have the communication system and the marketing system to let other people know about it. And then what's behind the book? Right? Don't be in a position of one and done. What's the journey, the customer journey after they read the book? What's next? Have that in place so you can continue expanding your business. It's so very important to understand that you can have the greatest book on the planet and you can be the greatest speaker. But if you don't have the right platform in place, the right business systems in place, you're not going to be able to achieve the success that you deserve.
So what are like three top things or three main things to establishing a foundation for authors that are listening or watching that they should do? Like, what are the top three things that they should start doing before they even think about launching, you know, worldwide?
Well, the issue is, you know, is your book addressing a pain point? The most successful businesses solve a problem or serve a need. And so remind yourself what you're solving or what you are serving. And that helps you really speak to the emotional level. All right, you can write a book that somebody reads and, like a textbook, right, in and out. But if you write a story related to what you're sharing and it impacts them on an emotional level, then you have a lifetime customer. And it's so important to understand to write as you would speak and to share that on that emotional level as well. And then the other thing is the power of association. Right. In my book, 3 Feet from Gold, which was the first book I did with the Napoleon Hill Foundation after I left Rich Dad, I talk about the personal success equation. I talk about combining your passion and your talent. All right. And most of us stop there. You have your passion, whatever you want to do, plus your experience, your education. And that's all about us. But you really, if you truly want to be successful, it's the next element is times A for power of association. Who's on your team? Do you have people on your team who are strong where you are weak? Do you have a mentor? You know, having a mentor has been proven over and over again to help you increase your revenue bottom line. All right. Do you have the right people to support you and keep you moving in the right direction? And then times A, take action. All right. Are you taking action? You know, so many times we know what we're supposed to do, but we don't do it. And then plus F, faith, having faith in yourself. Mm. And faith that what you're doing is needed and necessary. Too many times that F is fear, not faith. And so when I'm working with a new client, I go through this formula with them. You can go to personalsuccessequation.com. I have a free download that will help you walk through your own personal success equation. So personalsuccessequation.com. But when I'm working with a new client, I go through that with them, and always the areas they need the most work are that power of association. They don't have the right people around them. They don't have the right guide. They don't have the right people opening doors for them. And faith. They don't have that self-confidence to help them go to the next level. So everybody watching and listening, we're here to support you. You know, download that and go through it and look at, you know, who's on your team. Who do you need to maybe get rid of and who do you need to add? And then having confidence in yourself. And you know, when you have the right team around you, it helps you with your self-confidence.
Absolutely, 100%. And I'll definitely drop that. I'll definitely drop that link in the show notes, guys, so you guys can go ahead and check that out and start on your journey to success. Now, you've written so many books, Sharon, and I'm pretty sure that you've read some books also. What are some of your favorite books that you've read that you would recommend to other people outside of the ones that you've already written?
Well, there's so many, but I would certainly say Think and Grow Rich is the top of my list. And I read that when I was 19. And then Carnegie's book, How to Win and Influence Friends. I think that's a really strong and important book.
Yeah.
And then also From Good to Great by Jim Collins. I think that, you know, those are three of the strong books that I think will help you really focus on how you're leading, how you're building your business, and really structuring your mindset. So much about success and business is mindset.
Wow. And I love those books too. I've read two out of the three. I'm going to definitely read the third one. So those are definitely great books. Now, you know, we spoke about you being a financial advisor, and how was that when you were able to advise two of the presidents? What was that experience like?
Well, I often tell people when I left Rich Dad, I thought Rich Dad had been my legacy. I had no idea that there was more for me to do. And after 10 years, Robert wanted to go in a direction I didn't agree with. So I made the decision to leave, and it was the height of our success. But I tell people, and I want to challenge everybody watching and listening, sometimes you have to close a door for other doors to open in your life. Wow. Sometimes you have to close a door in order to be able to recognize those opportunities that are right in front of you. So I made the decision to leave Rich Dad, not really knowing what the future held for me, but knowing it was the right decision for me to make. And a few months later, I got a phone call from the White House, and it was President Bush asking me on the first President's Advisory Council for financial literacy. And I served President Bush and President Obama in that role. And I would not have gotten that call had I still been a Rich Dad. So again, sometimes you have to close the door. A few months later, 2008, we know what was happening in the economy. I got a call from the Napoleon Hill Foundation because we had known each other through the years just being in the same industry. Mm. And Don Green asked me to step in and help with the project 3 Feet from Gold. Again, I wouldn't have gotten that call had I still been a Rich Dad. And so I share this with a challenge to everybody watching and listening. You know, is there a door you need to close in your life so that other doors of opportunity will open?
Come on, say that one more time. I get chills hearing you talk about that story. Just say that one more time.
Is there a door in your life that you need to close? That might be a relationship. It might be a business. It might be an endeavor, a goal that may not be right for you today. Is there a door you need to close to make room and space for other opportunities to fly open to you?
Wow, that is amazing. Just hearing you talk about that gave me chills, because sometimes it's difficult, you know, when we you were at the height of your, you know, the success of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and you stepped out. And sometimes that can be a very tough decision for people to make, especially when they're seeing everything going great and everything looks fine. But, you know, like you said, you know, sometimes what may look good doesn't necessarily mean that it is good. And I think that's a great point that you made. So for those of you watching and listening, take that advice and do a self-assessment and analysis and ask yourself, like what she said, what doors need to be closed so that other ones can be open. Great piece of advice. I love that. Now, so you're a financial expert. You're an amazing author. And I want to go into pivoting into one of the other topics that you're great at is also a dynamic speaker. And I know you've spoken on stages all over the world. I actually had the opportunity to speak with you virtually for Child Help not too long ago. I was one of the speakers there as well. And I know that you're they gave you an award for being so active with child support and helping that organization out as well. So I had an opportunity to speak at that event as well. And I listened to your presentation. Amazing. And I know that you have an amazing talk called Assets are sexy. And I know you've done a couple of those events with some other amazing women. Tell us a little bit about that. And obviously, being a speaker and financial expert, you're going to do a lot of public speaking because you're helping people in different areas. But tell us about your conference that you throw, Assets Are Sexy.
Well, thank you, Jose. Yes, absolutely. Everybody can go to assetsaresexy.com. I launched it in May, and I wanted to do something different. I actually scheduled it as a virtual summit before the world shut down. So we had a live and a virtual section. So we ended up going virtual. We had over 1,200 women come to that event and register for that event. And it really, I brought in many of my dear friends who are billionaires that have built billion-dollar businesses or multi-million-dollar businesses, and wanted them to really share the techniques that they use, the strategies. And so they weren't your normal personal development speakers. Some of them were, but most of them were truly successful entrepreneurs to share their expertise and to make sure people understand that it is all about assets. Stop seeking the income and start seeking the assets. And so people, it's not what you do for your paycheck, it's what you do with your paycheck that counts. And you want to reinvest it and buy, build, and create income producing assets. We have an event August 21st called Show Up Strong. I want to help people stand in their own power. And there are far too few women-owned businesses that make over $1 million. Several years ago, it was 1.7. Now it's 4.2. I want to take that 1.7 times 10. So my goal is to get it to 17%. So we're partially there at 4.2. But women-owned businesses, again, you go to that personal success equation, and they don't have the confidence, and they don't have the right people around them. And we want to solve that issue and help every business owner, women-owned or man-owned, to understand how to 10x their income and get to that level where you are serving more people. Because when people focus on sales, that's a transaction. If you focus on service, then you have a lifetime of sales because you create a relationship with your customers.
I love that. That's so powerful. I love that.
So assetsaresexy.com for more information.
Assetsaresexy.com. Yep. She's throwing out a lot of websites, guys, and I'm going to put them all in the notes, in the show notes, because seriously, I think that you guys, especially now during the COVID where, for some people it's a downtime, but this is also a good time for you to be able to look at all this information that, that's all the information that's out there, but especially from people such as Sharon, who's actually successful at doing everything she touches, puts her hands on, right? Everything is like 3 feet from goal from her. That's amazing. So yesterday, Sharon, I put up a post on Facebook, and I just wanted to get some questions from some of my audience and people that follow me, because they knew that I was bringing you on. And I know a lot of them have read your book also. So I'm just going to give you two questions, because I know there were several of them, but I'm just going to ask you two of them and see what you say, so that they can get some gems out of that. So they said, this is from Gil Waddell. He's asking, what is or what was the major mindset shift needed to go from poor to rich?
Well, I think that's a great question, because mindset is so important. And that's why it's so important for us to get financial education into the school systems. Because when you're growing up, what did your parents say about money? We can't afford it. Money doesn't grow on trees. Pinch your pennies. Save for a rainy day. So as we're growing up, we hear this money negative, money negative, money negative. That's where our scarcity mindset comes from. Mm-hmm. And we don't realize that. And we're not getting the education to open our mind to the possibilities. And so in order to really make that shift in your mindset from scarcity, poor thinking, to abundance, rich thinking, you need to realize that and actually make it humorous and say, okay, I got that. Get rid of the scarcity mindset and start using the opportunity to move yourself forward. And that is, what are you feeding your brain? What information are you allowing in your head? In fact, during this time from the pandemic, we slashed a lot of our courses so that people could get the information they needed. And I launched something called Abundance Tips and Mentoring. It's a daily message. It's very inexpensive. You go to atm.sharonlechter.com, but I'm not saying it as a sales pitch. What is it that you're putting in your mind? If you want to shift from poor thinking to rich thinking, It starts in your subconscious. It starts to what you're listening to. What are you allowing in your space? Because you've heard the stories of lottery winners and sports stars making millions of dollars. And 5 years later, they're living under a bridge.
Wow, you know, that's true.
What changed? They didn't change their mindset. They had a lot of cash, but a scarcity mindset. And so they wasted it. They didn't understand the power of reinvestment, the power of buying, building, creating assets. My favorite word on earth, assets. That's why I say assets are sexy. That's how you, every wealthy individual around the world have one thing in common. They all have income producing assets. So instead of focusing on the income, focus on the asset that creates the income.
That's good. That's very good. Very good. So we have one more question here from Brandy Danielle. She's asking, what is your best piece of advice for someone looking for financial freedom? You probably get that a lot.
Well, the best piece of advice is that if it's to be, it's up to you, all right? And you are the CEO of your own life. And so the first step is to figure out where you are financially. Most people don't even know. They put their head in the sand. So that, you know, again, who are you listening to? Surround yourself with people who are pushing you in a direction that will make you step outside your comfort zone and create wealth. Nothing's going to change. We are all where we are today because of the choices we made before today. That's right. If you want something different in your life, start making choices, different choices today.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Now, I just want to jump back to the speaking thing because I know you've spoken on stages all over the world. You're a dynamic speaker. I'm also a speaker as well. But for the speaker that's out there that's listening or watching, what are two tips that you can give up and coming speakers? Or even seasoned speakers that's relevant for today's market? What are two tips that you can give as far as like increasing your speaking business?
Well, look and see who's out there that has the audience that you want, that you can serve the best, and make yourself available. Sometimes, you know, a lot of times, particularly in the world we're in today, it's the free gigs, but have a way to serve your audience, all right? So many times they're so anxious to sell something, they push and push and push, hard sell. Do serve and give a lot of free gifts to build your audience. All right. Because, and it's not just social media. Social media is exceptionally important. I mean, right now I'm trying to build up my Instagram following, but social media is very important, but that doesn't put those names in your database. So make sure that you have something that you're giving away for people for free, that you can attract them to your database so that you can nurture them. All right, give, ask. But find out and always make sure you know who you're sharing the stage with. So many times people will say yes and they get into an audience that's not right for them. Pay attention to what your goal is, the audience you want to serve. Seek that audience and serve. And really make sure the people that are inviting you on stage are thrilled to have you and that you honor them. Make sure you're honoring them from the moment you step on stage so that they'll ask you back. And that's one of the biggest issues that I find with speakers are so anxious that they don't take time to show the gratitude.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually saw a post recently that said serving is the new selling. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the way that serving is the new selling. Now I know you said you're trying to grow your Instagram following. What is your Instagram? So for those that are listening and watching and they want to go support you and show some love, what is your Instagram handle?
It's my name, Sharon Lecter, and there's quite a few false ones out there. So look for Sharon Lecter, and you know, I'm right at the little under 10,000 mark. So I'm trying to get it over the 10,000 mark. I would love your help doing that.
Come on, guys. Let's go ahead and give her that push she needs to get over the 10,000 mark. I believe we can do it, and I think we will do it. So at Sharon Lecter on Instagram, go show some love and give her a follow. Also, what I wanted to ask, Sharon, I saw something, I follow you on social media, and I see you many times on social media at a ranch. Mm-hmm. And I know you do some retreats there and some getaways there. What's so special about the ranch?
It is a little piece of heaven for us. When I've been married 40 years. This is our 40th anniversary coming up. And when we got married, my husband told me he wanted a survival property. Well, about 15 years ago, we found this place. We were looking for 10 acres somewhere, but we found this place. It's a little piece of American history. and it's a lot bigger than 10 acres. We have 300 acres and 40,000 acres of grazing rights. And we fell in love with it. And so we bought it the same day that we saw it. And so what I told my husband, I said, we got to walk the talk. So if we're going to buy this large piece of property, we need to make it an asset. So overnight we became ranchers, and we built a beautiful lodge, and we have business retreats. It's available for people to bring their families. You can go to CherryCreekLodge.com. That's the name of the ranch, CherryCreekLodge.com. We were there just this weekend. It's a little piece of heaven. We have horseback riding. We have a lake where you can go fishing. You can go shooting. You can go on ATVs. It's in the middle of the Tonto National Forest, totally off the grid. Wow. It's all a standalone solar power facility, our own well water. So it was totally disconnected from the outside world. We do have satellite internet, but it absolutely is heaven.
And what state is that in?
Arizona. It's 3 hours outside Phoenix, and it's CherryCreekLodge.com. I invite everybody to come.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, give her a follow on Instagram because she drops a lot of pictures and retreats and getaways that people are having there. She shows all the amazing things that are happening there. So if you want
more. We have business retreats there probably three or four times a year.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it, the wonderful Sharon Lecter dropping so many gems. Thank you so much, Sharon, for taking time out of your busy day. I'm going to definitely post all, I'm going to listen to this over and over again. I'm going to post all the links in the comments, in the show notes, so that you guys can go ahead and check it out. For business retreats, you can go ahead and check out the Cherry Creek Ranch. I'll go ahead and drop that as well. All her books and everything is online. Sharon, if people want to get in touch with you, is there a main website that you have where people can get in touch with you if they want to know more about you or do business with you or even get maybe some coaching or mentoring from you?
Most certainly. SharonLecter.com. So you can find me pretty much everywhere. Sharon Lecter. I have author Sharon Lecter on Facebook, LinkedIn, Sharon Lecter. But my website is SharonLecter.com. And if anybody has any questions, just send me an email, info@SharonLecter.com, and we'd love to hear from you.
Awesome. Well, there you have it, folks. Listen, I hope you had an amazing time hanging out with us and getting so many valuable gems dropped today. And tune in again next week when we bring on more guests and we give more value, because we believe that serving is the new selling. So guys, listen, until next week, make sure that you don't stop until you win. Take care and God bless.
Take care. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks everybody for tuning in to this episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win. Once again, I am your host, Jose Flores, and make sure you visit me at joseinspires360.com, where you'll see links to all my social media, where I'm bringing content like this every single day on how you can win and keep on winning. We have new episodes dropping every week, so make sure you guys like, subscribe, and share with other winners so that everyone can keep up with what's going on. Once again, I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win.